All right. We are the morons who try to talk good. My name is Caitlin in California.
And I'm Sam in Spokane.
And no deal, because she is a loser.
She's gonna love that.
No, we love Odile. It's, we are having a hard time scheduling this podcast. So, we needed to record. So, I guess we should start with news items? Yay!
News.
Alright.
Yep.
Do you want to start? Should I start?
You could start, darling.
Okay. Justice Scalia died last weekend. What? Okay, so what does this mean? An old guy died.
I don't know if I just call him an old guy.
Okay, he was a very conservative member of the Supreme Court, and as you probably well know, there needs to be 9 justices at all time on the Supreme Court. So it is the president's job to fulfill that slot when someone dies or retires. And there was a lot of stuff about the Republicans wanting to wait. Senate, which is Republican controlled, which has Senate, the Republicans have the majority in the Senate, and they really wanted to wait until this next election cycle to the next president to find someone to fill that slot. And but it's really, so that's been the whole political hullabaloo about kind of what's happening there, but it is Obama's duty to find someone to replace him. But it used to be 5 conservatives and 4 liberals kind of on the Supreme Court, but now we have the potential of shifting it the other way around. So it'll be interesting to see what happens. What do you think, Sam, about the whole debacle with the Republicans, like, being Republicans?
I am a horrible American citizen due to the fact that none of that really...
You didn't hear about any of this?
No, not really. I mean, kind of. I mean, I read it and I was like, oh, what? I had no idea what it meant. Yeah, I mean, I'm a terrible, terrible American. I should really get on top of the fact that I should know this information, but for some reason, I have not seemed to jump on the train of politics.
It's all good.
I'm so sorry, Mom and Dad. I'm so sorry.
So that's just kind of, I guess, most of the time they choose someone within like a month to fill the slot, but it looks like the Republicans are going to really be pushing back on Obama, on whoever he chooses. So that'll be interesting to kind of see how this plays out in the coming weeks. Another news item, Kesha. Let's talk about Kesha.
I just read about this morning.
Okay.
Because I saw it on Odile's Facebook.
Okay.
Because it's just a free Kesha, and I'm like, she's already free and weird enough. I mean, what's the point? And then I read it, and I'm like, oh, okay, I feel
yeah,
bad.
Yeah, it's kind of, I heard about this probably like maybe a month and a half ago was when I first heard
I'm
about
late
this.
Up the train.
You're late.
First I'm not on it, and now I'm just late to it. Like,
yeah. So I heard about this, yeah, a month and a half ago. Kesha is, for those who don't know, to kind of summarize what's happening, Kesha's music manager, not music manager, what is he? He's her, what's his official title?
He's a producer?
He's producer, okay. So Kesha's producer, she's been trying to get out of the contract with him, and her label is Sony. So she's been trying to get out of this contract with her producer, whose name is Dr. Luke. She's trying to get out of his contract. And she has claimed that he, like, raped her and drugged her. It's these accusations, which are very serious. And she's been going to court, and this has been a very long process, which is why she hasn't had any new music. She's not allowed to release any music that isn't underneath his direction. So, or she can get into, like, huge legal trouble. So that's why she hasn't released any albums or any music recently. And recently, a couple of days ago, she had her court appearance, and they denied her. They wouldn't let her break this contract. And it's really serious. It doesn't seem it's kind of a serious thing, and why we should care about it is if this was a man, this was not how it would have happened. Like, if you think about it, like, she was a woman and they didn't, Sony took the side of her music producer and not her, and like refused to like speak out with, like, take her side on things. Like, they didn't believe that this stuff happened to her. And it's
I would argue that I feel like if this were to happen to a man, then this thing would have happened. Yeah. They would have said, oh, blow it off. I mean, the fact that she didn't get any kind of, I don't know, it's like recognition for this fact seems to be the exact opposite of what normally happens.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because if any woman today would have said, oh, this guy has drugged and raped me, like, I'm going Bill Cosby route here, mm-hmm. everyone jumped on the bandwagon on that.
Yeah.
If it was a guy who said, hey, this woman drugged and raped me, they're like, hey,
that's true.
They probably would have blown that off. So,
yeah. But if you think about it, like, Chris Brown, who was abusive, is still popular today and is still allowed to produce music. And then you have Kesha, who was abused by her producer and isn't allowed to make music. It just, like, kind of sucks. That she, and it's like, I read an article about this recently, like, earlier today, about she doesn't even want him to go to jail. She just wants to get out of this contract. She just wants to be able to make music. She's not filing any criminal charges against him, which is kind of, which she could totally do, but she chose not to. She chose just to, she just wants to get out of this contract. She wants to get a new producer so she can make new music. She just wants to be able to produce her own stuff again. And she can't. And that just, it just kind of sucks. So, hashtag free Kesha, everyone.
You can catch that, but I'm still probably not going to listen to her music. I don't like her music, personally. That's just me.
I'm
but
a casual
again,
fan.
I'm the person who still listens to Stevie Wonder and Fleetwood Mac and a lot of 40s music. I've been Crosby and Bob Crosby, Sinatra out the wazoo. So, you shouldn't look to me for any type of musical advice because I am living in the past.
Sam is just an old person.
Dude, I think you said this in the car once. You were in the car with me.
Oh.
I started playing Shining Star by Earth, Wind, and Fire, and you said, I've known you for such a long time and things have always changed, but for some reason, this will always remain
yeah.
the same.
Sam has, like, the same type of music since I've known her. Like, her favorite movies have changed, her favorite games have changed, but she's always just listened to the same types of music.
Hey, you don't fix what ain't broke, alright?
We'll move on to our next news item. So, California Adventures is bringing back its Food and Wine Festival, which...
You know, I had one of those.
Yeah, this is a big thing in Epcot, in Disney World, is the Food and Wine Festival, and it goes on for, like, a month and a half in Epcot, and I've always been, like, super jealous of it. Because it sounds awesome. They have, like, all this incredible food, and the food is, like, a couple bucks each, and there's, like, all these different, like, snacky things. I think it's an extra fee to attend it. But I always thought it looked really cool, and California Adventures used to do this. And then 5 years ago, when they did construction on Cars Land, they stopped doing it. So, they've just recently announced that it's coming back, and it'll be in California Adventures from April 1st to May 1st, over the weekends. It's Friday through
Sunday.
That's
not fair. I'm not going to be there, so it's not fun for me.
I know.
I thought this news.
When the news came out, I was like, oh my gosh, Sam Odile and I need to go to this. And then
now
when I saw the dates.
You and I can. She can't go yet.
Well, you can still attend it. You don't have to be 21. You just eat the
wine. The whole point of the function is wine. The whole point of the function is
That's
wine.
That's true.
I mean,
wine is in the title.
Got you there.
But, so that's really cool, and I wish I could go, but I have to go to school and learn.
So why? But that doesn't mean I have to like it.
Alright. So, I don't want to talk about politics, so I had a bunch of politics on here, and Sam was like, nope, we're not talking about that much.
Because I was uninformed on most of it. And I just thought it was too much. But yeah. There's something in there that I definitely added, and it is Starbucks' announcement and start of their new... Is it... Oh, how do you
spring have drinks? I think it's like spring
I don't think beverages. It's spring, but it's a butterscotch latte, and they also have a frappuccino for it as well.
Yes.
And I think it's toasted. I think it's
called the smoked butterscotch.
Smoke, that's what it is. Yeah. So, and they announced, when they announced it, they said, yeah, it's just like butterbeer from Harry Potter.
I believe that was a BuzzFeed article, yeah.
So I was like, okay, I'm going to try this because there's Starbucks on my campus. So I went and I tried it, and I was extremely disappointed. I tasted just like a caramel frappuccino.
Yeah.
One. I was like, you're really going to try and market this off as a butter beer? And that hits me hard because I'm a diehard Harry Potter fan.
I don't think it was Starbucks that advertised it as that.
I'll double check that.
Just the internet.
I definitely blame BuzzFeed for a majority of
it. It was BuzzFeed's fault.
I'm just, I don't know.
Yeah, I tried it as well. I liked it. What did you drink it as? I had it in the hot latte.
I had it as the frappuccino.
Okay.
It's weird because it was cold outside. I'm like, I'll have that. I'm like, wait a minute, it's 20 degrees. Why did I think that was a good idea?
I liked it. I thought it was pretty good. It kind of just tasted like a regular...
It was just a frappuccino. It was useless.
Yeah. I thought it tastes a lot like the toffee nut syrup in it. Or it tastes kind of like a hybrid of caramel and toffee nut syrup.
I don't know. Okay, hold on. I'm going to double check that thing. But I read that and someone had said butterbeer. Okay, I make butterbeer on my own for fun with cream soda and then butterscotch topping. And it's good, but it's not up there with butterbeer because when I was in high school, one of my friends and her family graciously invited me to go to Orlando because they were going to go see the Wizarding World of Harry Potter. So I jumped on the bandwagon. I'm like, yes, let's go. The first thing I did was, it wasn't the rides, it wasn't Hogwarts. I jumped in line because I wanted a butterbeer. And the second I almost cried. I was so happy. And I think I had to have had like at least 8 of them.
Oh my gosh.
Hot and cold. It was worth it.
Which one do you think is better, hot or cold?
It depends on your situation, but I do like the hot.
Because
I like the topping. But... I was disappointed in the drink.
Wizarding World is opening in Hollywood, Universal Studios, in April.
I'm so excited!
I know. We're going to have to go.
Oh my gosh, and I'm going to fangasm all over the place like I did when I was in Orlando. We went through, and when we went for New Year's of 2010.
Wow.
The end of 2010 into 2011. So that's when we went. And one of the days we were there, Tom Felton was there.
Oh my gosh.
And I had an aneurysm. I was so excited. I don't know. Oh my gosh, it was great. I spent a majority of the time with my friend's sister because my friend hated upside down roller coasters. And for some reason, the line for the Triwizard one for the dragons was empty. So we went on it at least 22 times in a row. Like, it was... And that's not an exaggeration. We would just go on it on a loop. We couldn't stop. It was so much fun. And then I raided the candy store. I could have sworn I bought, like, at least 20 chocolate frogs. We bought a big box of birdies. Oh, my God. Big box of birdies. Tongue twisters. Of the Birdie Bots Every Flavored Beans.
Nice.
And that night, we just sat around eating them and just... like just retching all over the place because it was horrible, but we're like, that's a problem. It was totally worth it. Totally worth it. Anyway, I'll get that.
All right, so there's also a second Starbucks drink that just came out. It's like a new green tea latte. It's the like citrus mint green tea latte. But don't be fooled, you guys. It's just a regular green tea latte with the citrus mint flavored syrup.
Oh.
So it's really not that exciting. Nice,
you know. You're the...
Yeah. Starbucks. I used to work at Starbucks. So I kind of am in the loop a little bit with this kind of stuff. But the syrup sounds really... I think the syrup would be really good in just regular iced green teas. like when it's summertime.
Black tea.
Black tea. Yeah, just like a, it's just like a citrus mint syrup. Yeah. Oh, that sounds pretty good.
Sounds good to me.
So I haven't tried that yet. We'll give our reviews eventually.
Eventual reviews.
Let me try it. Eventually. All right. Now we'll move on to kind of our, what I call our fangirl news segment.
Fangirl news.
Do. So, I it's kind of been a slow news week for fandom news. Don't you think so?
Yeah.
Nothing really. There hasn't been any major announcements that I can think of. Fuller House is almost here. We have less than a week.
I'm probably not going to watch it.
I am going to watch it. I'm
just probably not going to watch it.
I am incredibly excited for it. I'm hoping... I feel like my expectations are too high, though. So I'm really nervous about watching it and it sucking. So hopefully that'll not happen.
I don't know.
Also, I just realized, I texted you guys this, BBC America Online, you can watch all of season 8 and 9 of Doctor Who, but only until March. Like, they go off on the 29th. So, we have just a few more days to, they've probably been up for a while, and I, like, just found out about it. So, which is good to know, because obviously the BBC pulled Doctor Who off all of every streaming service, because supposedly BBC is going to be starting their own streaming service, but there hasn't been any official word about that. Sorry. There hasn't been any official word about that yet, if that's actually going to happen. So, while you guys still have a chance, go check those out on BBC America's website. And also on BBC America, they have every episode of Orphan Black! Orphan Black is my second favorite TV show.
And second favorite to...
Doctor Who. Doctor Who and Orphan Black. The two favorite. Orphan Black, season 4 is coming out this April, so you can watch all of seasons 1 through 3. There's only 10 episodes per season. The episodes are about, like, 42, 45 minute long. So, yeah, go binge those. Orphan Black is about clones, and it is so good. One actress plays, like, 9 different roles. The acting's incredible. The storylines are... It's riveting. It's so good, and it, like, really sucks you in. So I highly recommend checking that out.
I love that description. It's riveting.
Have you watched Orphan Black, Sam? I know I've definitely tried to get you to watch it before.
Yeah, no, I just haven't... I don't know, I just lately... I really, really want to watch it. I just have not done it yet.
Okay. Well, it's on BBC America's website, so...
Just binge the whole thing.
Just binge the whole thing.
Like, I actually...
It's not on Netflix. I think it's on... I believe you can stream it through Amazon Prime, and you might be able to stream it through Hulu, but I know it's not on Netflix. So that's a good... So maybe take up the opportunity, those of you who haven't seen it yet, to binge it before the new season comes back. Sam, did you have any fangirl news?
I'm fangirling over a show that I'm currently... watching that's live. It's a Twitch show that's hosted by Geek and Sundry, and two of the characters that I have been shipping for a while are getting closer and closer together, but the DM for the show has stuck another guy in the middle of them, and now I am starting to get a little bit frustrated, because I'm like, you guys are totally blocking the love here. Blocking the love. So, I am still I am a hard supporter of this group, and hopefully we will get together. That's all the geek news that I currently can possibly provide. Should definitely watch the show if you're into RPGs being done by pretty famous voice actors. I mean, for their field, they're pretty high up there.
And what's it called for our listeners?
It's called Critical Role. It is on Geek and Sundry Twitch every Thursday at 7. And the show can range from 7 to 10 or 11. I have once watched it when it kept going till 12.
Wow.
And I had a big day the next day, but it was worth it. It was worth it. So worth it. So, yeah.
Cool.
My life.
All right. Once Upon a Time is also coming back in a couple weeks. So that's
also
fun.
But Leave the Walking Dead.
I think it did. Or it's, yeah. I don't know. I've seen Walking Dead stuff on Facebook, but there hasn't been any really big news items. But Doctor Who's been very quiet recently, which when it goes quiet, you know that there's going to be a big announcement coming. I feel it looming.
Break everyone's heart. I don't know why. Geek and Sundry, actually, because everything I do is based on Geek and Sundry, just released an article about a bunch of different people that people are, you know, saying, this person should be the next Doctor. So,
oh, yeah.
The list is quite interesting. Mm-hmm. One of which I completely disagree with. Chris O'Dowd is on the list. If you don't know who Chris O'Dowd is, he is an Irish comedian who is most known for being on the show The IT Crowd.
Okay.
If you have not seen The IT Crowd, you gotta watch that show because it's hysterical. So, and he was also known as being the police officer from Bridesmaids.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she was talking
about.
Oh,
yeah, yeah, I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
I love him. He's
hysterical.
He'd
be awesome.
Emma Watson is also on this list.
Yes, queen.
Tom Hiddleston.
Okay.
Martin Freeman, but there's no way. There's literally no way. And then I am horrible because I cannot say this actor's name that well. Idris Elba?
Oh, yes. He's really busy.
Yeah. So obviously these are just people's personal, like, I think
dream cast.
And then Maisie Williams from, I believe,
Game of Thrones. Yeah. Sam hasn't seen season 9 yet. Maisie Williams has a guest appearance in season 9.
Yeah, so those are people's suggestions, and I'd probably fight on a bunch of those, but, you know, that's just me.
Capaldi...
The whole fun about it is fighting.
Capaldi still hasn't announced if he's staying for season 10 yet, so it's kind of up in the air, but we should be getting a companion announcement, because we're supposed to be getting a new companion. Well, no, Capaldi has said he's staying for season 10. We're not sure if he's staying for season 11 yet. That's right. That's what it is. And we should be getting a new companion announcement sometime soon. They're supposedly filming in May for season 10. So we should be getting an announcement. My guess, probably in late March and early April is what I'm thinking. So we'll have to keep an eye out for that. But who knows? They could drop a bomb on us really early. So keep our eyes open for that. All right. So I guess we'll move on to the topic of the week. I wanted to talk about Disney, Nickelodeon, and Cartoon Network shows, and just kind of compare the shows that are on the networks now versus what they were when we were kids in the early 2000s.
Sure.
Let's do Disney first.
Okay. So the ones that are currently still running are Liv and Maddie, Girl Meets World, Casey, Best Friends, Funked, It's Stuck in the Middle. Because it says here that that weird thing with the blog just ended last September. And I believe Star Wars Rebels is, and there's a voice actor in that show that I'm a big fan of, but that's just me.
So, I've seen a couple of episodes of a lot of those shows. I will admit, I love Girl Meets World.
I never watched it, just because I never watched Boy Meets World.
Love it. It is, I mean, there are definitely some moments where I'm like, yeah, this is definitely Disney Channel. But there are other moments where you're like, why am I crying?
Serious? Oh, okay. Yeah.
I watched the most recent episode, which was it was called Girl Meets Bay Window. It was Friday's episode. I was crying so hard. It was so good. It was so emotional.
You crying, not a shocker.
I cry pretty easily, but I was crying so hard through the episode. And then I was like, I texted my 15-year-old cousin, and I was like, why am I crying watching this show? Like, why am I crying through this? And then she texted me back, and she's like, I know, right? This sucks. Well, I shouldn't like the show, but I love it. If you're a Boy Meets World fan, like, give Girl Meets World a shot. I mean, there are definitely a couple episodes which aren't too great, or there's some kind of dumb storylines, but, like, otherwise, like, it's kind of reminiscent of Lizzie McGuire, where it's just kind of about growing up. It's about losing friends, gaining new friends, starting at a new school, relationships, and not knowing kind of how you fit in and discovering who you are, and it's just really beautiful, and I've just been enjoying it. So that's the only show I like on Disney Channel right now. But this segment was supposed to be bashing shows. So let's talk about some of the bad ones. But, so, these shows, let's talk about this. I recently found an article, or maybe it was a Tumblr post, about Disney Channel shows and how they kind of treat minorities. If you think about it, the shows that feature primarily black families are the ones where the families have, like, some super secret, like, ability or do some, like, cool things, and they're not just, like, a normal family. If you really, like, That's a Raven, which is an incredible show. You know, she's a sidekick, and there was, like, the whole, like, oh, she's a sidekick, and then Casey Undercover, which is about a African-American family, they're spies. Which I thought was kind of interesting.
But then you also had Phil of the Future, which is an all-white family, but they're from the
future.
That's true.
That's true.
You can't trust everything you see on Tumblr, because
yeah.
Tumblr is just a madhouse.
I just thought that was an interesting... did an interesting perception of Disney Channel. Have you seen any of these shows, Sam? Any of the new Disney Channel shows?
That must be the biggest joke I've ever heard in my life.
Yeah.
No.
No.
I used to watch Disney when I was a kid, but only a few shows, a bunch of them I thought were stupid. I did not like Lizzie McGuire. I hated
what?
That show.
What? How are we friends?
I know. I did not like Lizzie McGuire. I hated The Proud Family. I thought it was kind of dumb.
Oh my
just
god.
Just because, I don't know, it just bugged me. I did watch That's So Raven. I hated Hannah Montana with the fiery passion. Wizards of Waverly Place was dumb. I did watch some Sweet Life of Zack and Cody, but not the one where they're on a boat, which is...
oh, that one's horrible. Sweet Life on
ridiculous.
Deck.
Yes. And then I did watch Phil of the Future, and then I watched a couple of their animated ones, and I believe one of them was American Dragon Jake Long.
Oh, yes.
Because I did like the voice actor for Jake, because he was the voice of Zuko from Avatar The Last Airbender.
Mm.
We're going to get into that one later. But, yeah, I did watch Kim Possible.
Yeah, Kim Possible.
Kim Possible was good.
Do we think that Disney Channel shows have gone downhill?
I feel like every network has gone downhill in a specific way.
Mm-hmm.
Disney is known for more of their live action series.
Yes,
as
I agree.
To their cartoons. But, I mean, all of their episodes, even if it's a different show, all follow the same basic premise that sitcoms today, kind of, like, for adults kind of follow, which is not all of them, but most of them, but for the kids genre, do the, let's talk about this, like, important value. Let's have someone break that value. Let's talk about how it's wrong.
Yeah.
It's the same
That's
cycle.
That's true.
But no one seems to get, like, tired of it. And also, you gotta also consider, it's a kid, these are kids. But, so, obviously, me watching this, the only time I ever would is if my younger cousin wanted to watch it, and I would argue with them, no, let's watch something better. But, I mean, yeah, I'm not a huge fan of a lot of the stuff that they're coming out with, just because a lot of it, like, it's full of the characters going, OMG, and they're doing, like, all this ridiculous stuff. It's making me feel like it's making some of these kids dumber.
I agree.
Personally.
And you notice how every main character has, like, two friends?
And that's kind of how, like, it's like, okay, they can't remember more than one name, so you only have two friends.
You have two friends all the time. And Disney Channel, I don't know, I wish there was more, like, the cast were more diverse.
Again, I really don't know, because I don't really watch any of these shows.
That's something that I feel like could be a little better. I feel like Girl Meets World is doing really good things and helping, because some of these shows are just dumb. Like, I Didn't Do It, like, that show is so dumb. I don't even, it's just about, like, these twins that like to, I've seen, like, half of an episode of it. It's about these, like, twins and their group of friends, and they just, like, prank people, and they just derp around. Girl Meets World, like, they talk about, like, feminism and...
You're just a big proponent of
this show. I really like Girl Meets World. They talked about girls in STEM, and they talked about autism, which I think is pretty cool.
But the thing is, I feel like I have to also cancel out part of your views on that, on other shows being terrible, because you have such a high opinion on this one. Of course you're gonna have a bias toward it.
That's true. I mean, Girl Meets World has its problems, too. I think all of Disney Channel's its problems. I think...
all the shows have a problem.
Yeah. Disney Channel treats kids like they're dumb. I get the impression almost sometimes. Like they don't get what kids like. Like Lizzie McGuire was probably my favorite TV show growing up. Just about a girl and her friends growing up. And I thought, you know, I really identified with her. And Disney Channel stopped producing shows like that. And even Kim Possible, oh, such a good show. Probably Disney Channel's best animated show was Kim Possible.
I liked Dave the Barbarian. I remember that show.
That show was ridiculous. Brandy and Mr. Whiskers, do you remember that one?
Yes, oh yes, my God. Yep, I remember that one. Okay, let's switch networks. Let's do Nickelodeon.
Nickelodeon. Okay.
Nick.
Oh, gosh, I, like, don't really watch Nick anymore.
I used to watch Nickelodeon more than anything on the face of the planet.
I used to watch a lot of it, too.
Oh, Nickelodeon. Two of the big shows that are on Nickelodeon have been on air since 1999 and 2001. Ooh. Can you guess the name of those two shows?
SpongeBob and the Fairly OddParents.
You would be correct. Now, a lot of people are upset that these two shows have just completely gone downhill. Yeah. Specifically SpongeBob, because I haven't watched any of the new episodes of SpongeBob. And Fairly OddParents, because they added two new main characters to the show on top of the three.
Yeah.
I believe those two new characters are a dog.
Yes.
A magic dog. And then Cosmo and Wanda's kid named Poof.
Yes. I believe you are correct.
So, hold on, I think I have the names. Sparky the dog. Yeah, it's Sparky and then Poof. And Poof is also voiced by the actress who's Timmy Turner.
Oh, okay.
Same person. And also fun fact, Jorgen von Strangl.
Yeah.
Sounds like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah.
The guy is also the voice of Cosmo.
Mm.
And I also believe Mr. Turner and the dad. And he was the, what's the word? The guy who cleaned stuff up at the high school. Custodian. The custodian in Ned's Declassified.
Oh.
Gordy, his name was Gordy. Geordi is Star Trek. That's different. That's a different boat entirely. Anyway, those two shows are still going strong, kind of. I mean, they've been going for, oh geez, how many years have these shows been on? So SpongeBob's been 99.
Almost 20 years.
We're getting up there. It's 17 years, and then Fairly Odd Parents came out in 2001.
15 years.
And that's the other crazy shows they have are Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Sanjay and Craig. Rabbids Invasion, which I think are those super creepy, like...
Yeah, the rabbit things, with, like, the red eyes.
Red Winners? Never heard of it.
I think it's a game show.
Oh, okay.
Maybe.
Beaks, and then Pig, Goat, Banana Cricket.
Oh, wait, no, they're animated. I don't know.
Oh, they're animated? Okay, and then they're... Oh, no, they have some live-action stuff going on. Max and Shred, 100 Things to Do Before High School. Game Shakers... Anyway, oh no, they do have
Make a game it show pop
called Paradise Run, and then they have their show Nick Jr. But I don't think any of us watch Nick Jr. Nickelodeon has
these shows just look so bad.
I heard Sanjay and Craig isn't bad.
Okay,
that's what I've heard, and a lot of people are obsessed with the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. About 2 years ago, Build-A-Bear Workshop did a thing with the Ninja Turtles.
Mm-hmm.
I know, because I used to work there. And they were flying off the shelves, but the one that was flying off the shelf the most was Michelangelo, Mike.
Huh.
Because the character on the show was like, I like pizza! It was just kind of nuts. So everyone loved the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles stuff when it was out. And Sanjay and Craig... believe is it about the bird? No, shoot, it's about a snake named Craig and a boy named Sanjay, and they're just friends. So it's about this guy and his snake.
Okay.
It's about the extent of that show, and I think a lot of people would think it's interesting because Sanjay is an Indian.
Yeah, that's cool. Character,
so I don't know a whole lot about it, but a lot of people seem to like it.
Okay, so should we talk about these live action shows? I don't think I've seen a full episode of any of them.
Same here, because again, they're
I have seen parts of Make It Pop, and it seems very stereotypical for K-pop.
That might.
Yeah, which I remember the first time.
I've seen the logo for it. It has Korean and then kitties, frogs. Oh yeah, that's definitely. Oh, and it's a musical.
Yeah, they sing in it.
Huh.
I think it's about some kids that created their own like K-pop band.
Oh yep, here it is. Reading the plot, this is off of Wikipedia. Make It Pop follows three girls in the boarding school Mackendrick Prep. Media star, I cannot say this name. Sun Hai Sung, fashionista, oh my goodness. So yeah, it's some Asian children. And then they are forming a high school K-pop inspired band called something I also cannot pronounce. Oh yeah.
Yeah, right. I watched it, and I watched like 10 minutes of it, and I was like, wow, this seems almost racist.
I have no idea.
They played up a lot of like stereotypes that felt almost insensitive. I don't know, as a Caucasian woman, it's kind of hard to, I guess I probably shouldn't be talking, but yeah, I don't know, it just looked a little questionable.
I don't know. If you want a network that has some very questionable shows, let us move our way over to Cartoon Network.
It's a good segue.
Cartoon Network is my favorite cartoon station for kids because of just the fact that every single time I manage to turn on the TV, I end my viewing section going, what the hell did I just watch? Because it's madness, but I love it. Kind of. I mean, I used to love it. The show Teen Titans Go infuriated me to no end because it took the show Teen Titans that I loved and turned it into like, let's go get pizza. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. Like, this show used to be about this like amazing group of like teenagers who would go out and they would save the world and just turn them into a bunch of goofy looking cartoon characters that were just worried about, oh no, you got gum in my hair. That kind of annoyed me. They also have shows, very, very famous show, Adventure Time.
Yeah.
I still look at going, how was this allowed to be put on the kids' network? Because there's a lot of things that are said that are like clear innuendo. Or like it's clearly some sections and there are not for children. Or it's done in a way where kids wouldn't realize that it's wrong, but parents can watch and go, oh my god, I cannot believe they got away with that. The regular show is nuts. The Amazing World of Gumball is equally nuts. Uncle Grandpa is weird. Steven Universe, best show ever. Something called Mixels, Clarence, and then a show called We Bare Bears. Now, I've never seen We Bare Bears, but I want to watch it because someone said it was actually pretty good. So I'm going to definitely check that out, and I will give my review on that one later.
Should we compare to older Cartoon Network shows?
Oh my gosh. Old shows on Cartoon Network are also
very close to my heart.
They were insane. Oh, sort of like if you take switch back to Nickelodeon, the old shows on Nick. The fact that they got away with putting Invader Zim on air is amazing. Invader Zim is one of my favorite cartoons.
Even like Hey Arnold was kind of like intense.
Yeah, because I recently went back and I rewatched Invader Zim, and I'm sitting there going, why would anyone approve of this to go on air? I mean, like, I'm so glad it did, because that show's nuts, and I love it for just how nuts it is, because I'm that kind of person. I'll watch something and go, that's the worst thing I've ever seen! I love it! Like, that's just kind of how I watch a lot of the cartoons, which is why I loved old Cartoon Network, because I've watched Ed, Edd n Eddy, Count Chicken, and The Grim Adventures of Billy and Mandy, and I'm just sitting there going, what the hell did I just see?
Can't forget Courage the Cowardly Dog.
Courage the Cowardly Dog did give me nightmares sometimes as a kid. Specifically, one of the episodes, and I can't remember which one it is, but it's the creepy guy standing outside, and he just looks painted. I'll look up his name. I can't remember, but that one scared the hell out of me. a lot of the shows were just, like, insane. So Ben 10 was good. I did like that show. The Marvelous Misadventures of Flapjack made no
that
sense.
That show was ridiculous.
No, it made no sense, but I loved it.
I was obsessed with Powerpuff Girls.
I know, you said that last week. There was a show, Hi Puffy AmiYumi. I remember that, watched it, and I loved it. And I also loved Fosters. Star Wars The Clone Wars, I did like that one. I did not like My Gym Partner's a Monkey.
That show was weird. Dumb.
Camp Lazlo was hysterical. Chowder made me laugh like an idiot. I'm just looking at all these old shows. Just a list of them. Oh my goodness, so many.
There's been a lot.
Oh yeah, no, they've had a lot of shows. They've gone through a lot. Samurai Jack. Great. Great show. And I heard there was a rumor that it might be coming back.
What? I also love Dexter's Lab.
Dexter's
iconic.
Dexter's Lab. Oh my god, how do you describe
basically the most perfect cartoon show.
There was also some definite, like, innuendo in that one that other people just didn't clearly catch.
But it's so clever. It's just so good.
They also are notorious, Cartoon Network is, for replaying, I remember when I was a kid, Scooby-Doo.
Scooby-Doo
stuff. And they also did Tom and Jerry, and I believe they still, to this day, air Tom and Jerry. And Tom and Jerry just turned 75, I believe?
Yeah.
And that show is hilarious. They do all the Looney Tunes because Cartoon Network is under Warner Brothers, which means that Warner Brothers, they also play a lot of DC comic stuff. So anything that's basically DC, because Warner Brothers owns DC. That's one big group. So they do a lot of the Justice League and Batman, Superman, Teen Titans. That's like their thing. So they'll play those. I remember they used to play them a lot on Toonami because they also used to play anime. Mm-hmm. And they definitely play it on their adult show, because after don't know what time, but Cartoon Network can switch to something called Adult Swim.
Yeah.
And Adult Swim
is so interesting.
Oh my god. The best show that I've seen on Adult Swim, for me, I think Robot Chicken's hysterical.
So
Robot, funny. Oh my god, Robot Chicken. And then I just totally forgot the name of what it is. Adult Swim. Wow. Wondrously introduced me to a sketch called Too Many Cooks. Too Many Cooks has ruined and enhanced my life simultaneously. Just, like, I'm pretty sure Cartoon Network, because if you had to, like, put all three of them next to each other, you got Disney, who's the popular girl in high school.
Yeah.
I'm going to high school. Nickelodeon is probably the kid that likes skateboards. And then Cartoon Network is the kid that just did drugs in the back of the campus all day long. That's Cartoon Network.
That is the most accurate description I've ever heard.
But I like Cartoon Network. Cartoon Network was amazing. But there were times in the Nickelodeon also used to be the kid that did lots of drugs. But then he had he suddenly is like, I see the light, and then joined sports. Because it used to have a show called Mr. Meaties. It was a puppet show about teens who worked in a mall food court at a restaurant called Mr. Meaties. And
Google it, you guys. It's ridiculous.
Oh, yeah. And then, of course, Nickelodeon also had one of the best shows I've ever seen, cartoon shows I've ever seen in my life, Avatar The Last Airbender. Best show ever, but I just it's so weird. I don't know. It's weird looking at what's happening now and looking back at what it used to be.
Yeah,
because of course we're gonna idolize what it used to be because that's what we connected with when we were kids.
It's nostalgia. But then,
growing up, obviously these shows are for kids, but a lot of the shows that you see on Disney are just, like, not really up your alley. I mean, I feel like Cartoon Network's the only one that's also partially catering to adults.
Yeah.
Because just half of the innuendo that's just pours out of these shows.
Yeah,
but
I think that's
pretty accurate. That's just kind of how I look at it. But, yeah, that's my take on all of those.
Cool. Those of you who might not realize this, but if you go on the Cartoon Network website, you can play all the old computer games.
Yes! The Scooby-Doo ones are my favorite!
I there know. Was called...
Oh, shoot, what was it? It was basically you're playing as Scooby.
The or castle one?
The castle, yeah. And there's a ghost, and he's trying to scare you, and you have to click on everything around you to try and get him to leave you alone. Or he gets so scared he'll leave. I'm a pro at that game. I was pro, man. That, and then this other game... It was Codename Kids Next Door.
Yes.
Also, show. I love yes. Codename Kids Next Door. The thing about that show that confused me.
I didn't like the show, but I liked the games.
Oh, no, man, the show was great. The thing about the show was, it's like, these kids, it's like, is this really part of their imagination? Or is this just, like, something that actually exists for them? Because they had a moon base, they had a giant treehouse, and, like, half the adventures they'd go on, like when you were a kid, it, like, just connected with you. Like, there was an episode... where I believe it was number 4, who was the Australian kid, ate a Brussels sprout, and because he did that, he was dying. And they needed to shrink themselves, go into his body as a tiny thing, and then retrieve the Brussels sprout. But then he also had to eat liver, and then it was hysterical. And then there was one where it's like, yeah, man, we're gonna all meet at the candy bar. They're all eating candy, and then suddenly the police show up because that's illegal. You can't be eating candy. It was like speakeasies. They had speakeasies for candy, and it was so funny. But, like, it just kind of proves that, like, your imagination can literally take you anywhere, which was super
aww.
Cool. So, that's why I love that show. That show was great. Although, I never understood why number one dated that girl. His girlfriend, I can't remember her name, Lizzie, was this huge girl. Was like, I made you soup, and, like, I hate her, and number one can do so much better. That's totally how I thought. I have serious opinions on kid shows. That's
all right. So yeah, go check out the Cartoon Network website, everyone, and go play some games because I recently revisited them and they're so much fun. So
speaking of games, we're going
right,
to game.
Let's
call Sam's Game Corner.
Okay, let's move on to our recommendations.
Recommendations. All right. So I'm
Sam's
go,
Game Corner.
Sam's Game Corner. Okay, so last week. When I went to go play D&D, we didn't play D&D because not all of us were there. So instead, we just played board games. And we played board games from 5 to 2 in the morning.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. And a game that we played was called The Red Dragon Inn.
Okay.
And The Red Dragon Inn was amazing because it basically you're playing mm-hmm. as a different person. And you have a specific deck that goes with that person. But you are a D&D adventuring party. And this is after you finished your adventure. So you're all at a tavern. You're all, like, going to drink. The whole point of the game is you're trying to either get someone super wasted so they pass out or steal all of their gold. And whoever the last person standing is, survive the evening at the tavern.
That's funny.
I was so close to winning both times, but I lost because... someone had a card that was better than mine. It was like, ha, take 5 shots, and then I was out. So it was a lot of fun. And it was a lot of fun because I played this with my D&D group. So it was like, oh, this is totally us, like after an adventure or something. So that game was a lot of fun. I plan on getting it because one of the guys did bring it. I didn't bring it. He brought it. We sat down, we played it. I fell in love. Super great. We also played a game called Wiz Wars. That game was confusing. Really, really confusing, but I won, and I still can't figure out how. But it was a lot of fun, and for anyone who likes those, like, hardcore strategy games, that game is for you. A lot of fun. So those are my two game recommendations. Board game recommendations. Do you have any board game recommendations?
No. Not this week.
Gosh. Okay, let me see. I can probably come up with more. There's so many things I can recommend because...
I had a recommendation in my brain, but I totally forgot it. I'll remember it eventually.
I just recently re-picked up a video game that I used to play with my brother when we were younger. Mm-hmm. And it was a game called Mirror's Edge. And Mirror's Edge has a sequel that is coming out this summer, Mirror's Edge 2. And the game came out in 2008, so it's been 8 years.
Wow.
This is when the game comes out. And it's parkour, basically. It's a first-person parkour game. Where you're playing as a character named Faith, and she is a runner. So she, in this kind of a future setting, exchange of information is, like, regulated by government. So people will hire these runners to go around and deliver messages. And you're playing as this character, and she's running around. And the game is beautiful because the city's white and blue, but you can definitely find where you're supposed to go because you follow the red objective marker. So, like, you'll be running, and you'll see, like, a plank of wood that's red. So you have to run up that plank and, like, jump. And
it's with, like,
tumbles and punch and oh, it's so much fun. So I just got that, and I'm replaying it, and it's just flooded back the memories of me being stuck in one area. So that's my video game.
Cool.
Recommendation highlight.
Oh, I have kind of something. So recently for my birthday, I got the album of the 60th anniversary Disneyland album. It has three discs, and it's basically just like background music of stuff that they play in Disneyland and California Adventures.
Tell me that.
And also ride music. It's really? So good. Yeah.
We're just gonna sit around and just.
I can burn it for you.
Oh my god.
It's on Spotify, but not like. But there's a couple of songs you can't listen to on Spotify. It's called Walt Disney Records Legacy Collection Disneyland.
Awesome. I gotta check that out.
And it has like a special little booklet in it of pictures of like original artwork for the. For all the different rides, and it has three discs, and it's really fun. And it's really good when you're like doing homework because it's background music. It's Disneyland background music. And so I find myself being more productive doing homework when I'm listening to it. So it's really fun. So I recommend checking that out. It's on Spotify, but there's a couple of songs you can't listen to that they like blocked. But so that's my music recommendation for the week. I have another recommendation for a podcast. So Sam's gonna make fun of me when I tell her what this podcast is.
I won't say anything.
You're not gonna say anything? You're not gonna make fun of me?
We'll see.
Okay.
Say it first.
So this podcast is a Hamilton podcast. Sam's like dying of embarrassment for me. It's called...
Why did I not expect that? Like, I don't...
It's called Pod for Ham, P-O-D, the number 4, H-A-M. And it's on iTunes, and it's pretty good. It's by the people that do the Incomparable podcast, and basically it's interesting because every episode, it's a once-a-week podcast. The episodes are about a half an hour long. And every week they go in detail and analyze a song from the show, and it's going in order. So it'll be like the first song from the show, they'll like analyze it, and then the next week it'll be the second song, they'll analyze that. And every week is a different group of podcasters. So these are like people that already have their own podcasts. And in the first episode, one of my favorite podcasters from the all-female Doctor Who podcast, Verity, she was on the first episode. And that was really fun, there's a lot of Doctor Who podcasters that have had little guest appearances in the podcast. There's three episodes so far, so I recommend everyone go check that out if you love the musical Hamilton as much as I do. It's pretty great.
Other things. Oh, darn it, I had one too, and I totally forgot it.
It's okay, I can edit us going, wait, what was ours?
Oh, jeez, no, you had said it was podcast. And I was thinking of... Oh, my God. What the hell?
Do you have any show recommendations? Any Netflix things?
Oh, yeah, I got a show one.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, so there's a show that I watched over the summer, partially, but due to the fact that I was very, very busy handling small children at a camp, I kind of lost track of it. And it's from the network Sci-Fi. I give Sci-Fi a whole lot of credit for the fact that their TV shows are 150,000 times better than their movies, because they're crap. Okay, like if they put their production value of their TV shows into the movies, I mean, it wouldn't make it totally better because the plot premises make no sense.
Yeah,
but there's a show. There's two shows. I'm gonna go for two of them. One of them is called Dark Matter. And it is on, I'm going to go three shows, Dark Matter, and it is on Netflix, the first season, because it was only one season out, and it's really, really interesting. because I do enjoy sci-fi. It's like science fiction a lot. So it's really interesting. It's about this crew of people who all wake up from the ship and they all do not have their memories and they have no idea who they are. So it's them trying to figure out who they are. And it's really, really interesting. So check it out. It's called Dark Matter. It's on Netflix. Another one that's really good is also from sci-fi, but this one's not, these two are not on Netflix, unfortunately. They are on Amazon. I'm not going to confirm both of them. I know one of them is, and it's called Defiance. Don't know what season Defiance is on. I believe it might be season 3. And it's really, 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 really good. It's a show about a newly terraformed Earth. So the Earth looks basically completely different. But it's about humans trying to survive in this town that's called Defiance, which is old St. Louis. So it's all of them like trying to get through like life. And it's humans mixed with these other different alien species, and everyone seems to just hate each other. It's really, really good. That show's amazing. The other one that's good is, and I don't know if it's on Amazon Prime. I have to double check. It's called Dominion. Dominion's also a sci-fi show. It's based on a movie, and I can't remember what movie it is at all. But it's basically like the apocalypse. However, it was caused by angels that were trying to like kill everyone on Earth. So it's... the archangel Michael, who's trying to protect the humans, and Gabriel, who's trying to destroy the humans, and it's them, like, fighting each other in New Vega, which is, city called Vega, which is, used to be Las Vegas. So it's just all these humans that are, like, trying to get rid of these angels and get them off the Earth. It's really, really good, really interesting. I believe they just, over the summer was season 2. It's on during the summer. So I don't know where you can find it, but those three shows, Dark Matter, Defiance, Dominion. Amazing.
Good to know. Wow, I got a lot of stuff to watch now.
Oh my gosh. Like, Defiance? How did I end up watching that? I don't know. I just kind of found it, and I just started up and watching it, and oh, geez, it was amazing. I was blown away by the makeup. The makeup was amazing for those characters. I think what drew me towards Dark Matter... I think I accidentally watched an episode of it, to be perfectly honest. It was just like, hey, new show up next. I'm like, okay. I was like, oh, wow, this is actually pretty damn good. Oh, this is impressive. I liked it. It was great. And it made me laugh because Will Wheaton shows up in an episode later in the series, and I love Will Wheaton. For those who don't know who Will Wheaton is my god, due to the fact that Will Wheaton does not win board games he plays, and neither do I. We're both in the same boat there. Will Wheaton used to play Wesley Crusher on Star Trek The Next Generation. And he was also in the movie Stand By Me.
He was?
Mm-hmm. He was in Stand By Me. And
I love that now, movie.
He's a nerd king.
He really is. He's the king of the nerds. He basically...
I don't know, but the queen of the nerds is 20 times better as Felicia Day.
Felicia Day is pretty great.
Felicia Day is. I've got her audiobook for her autobiography that she mm-hmm. wrote. Oh, I've read it. I've listened to it twice. It gives me inspiration. It gives me hope. I love Felicia Day. I love you, Felicia. Felicia and Will Wheaton, they're my gods. My nerd gods.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so Sam got me addicted to the game Neko Atsume, which
or cat
is
collector.
Also known as Cat Collector. It's free in the App Store, and I am, like, obsessed with it. So I've just been playing it a week, and I already have, like, got my room expansion, which is ridiculous. But, so the premise of this game is you have this little cartoon yard, and you're trying to collect as many cartoon kitties. You're just trying to attract them to your yard, and you get to buy things using fish.
That the cats give you whenever they show up at your house.
Yeah, that the cats give you when they show up. And then you put little, like, things for them to play with in your yard. And, yeah, and it's fun because you can just check on it every, like, you can just, like, check on it, like, every, like, 2 hours. Like, you don't need to check on it, like, it's not one of those games that you're, like, constantly playing. It's like you go to class and then you check on your cats after class. Put some food out for them.
Has Tubbs shown up at your place
oh,
yet?
Oh, yes. I've seen Tubbs.
I
he gives you a lot of fish, though.
No, but he eats all your food.
That's true.
Tubbs is a jerk.
Yeah. So it's been really fun. I highly recommend it. It's free. It's fun.
There's actually, hold on, I got one last game.
Okay.
I used to play it in high school.
Okay.
My friend got me addicted to it because they used to play it during lunch. And I would know that they'd play the game because they'd both be hovering around their iPad and then they'd scream and throw the iPad. and the name of the game is... Oh, gosh, what was it called? It was made by a game called a company called Big Fish. And basically, they do a lot of the games where it's like point, click, collect, like heavily story-oriented horror games.
Oh, was this the one? I think I know what game you're talking about.
Is it the one that has to do with the clown? Is that the one, actually? Where the... I'm scared of clowns. So the whole point of the game, this particular game, and it's called Soul Something.
Oh, my gosh. I totally remember you showing this to me.
Oh, yeah. So... It's like you're playing as this woman whose husband seems to go missing, but the thing that was funny about the beginning is like, thank God Sam taught me how to drive, and they just made it seem like she had no idea what the hell she was doing, period. But it's her trying to find him, but it ends up in his old hometown, but things have been possessed and they're super creepy.
Yeah.
And the whole point of the game is like you have to collect things and find things in order to unlock puzzles. But in order to get these things, you got to play I Spy.
Yes.
Yes,
yes, I remember this.
They have a series of these games, all made by the same company. Different premises, but all of them equally as creepy. this is going to kill me because I can't think of the name of the game. I'm going to Google it just because. But, yeah, I don't know why I totally found with those. But really, really cool, really, really crazy games.
Storytime, Odile and I played that whole game. Waiting for Breaking Dawn Part 1 to start in the theaters.
Wait, did the horror one also tell you that?
Yeah.
No way,
Odile
really?
Downloaded it on her, like, iPad, and we brought it to the theater. And it was, like, it was starting to rain. So usually they have you line up outside. This was for the midnight showing on the day it premiered. And usually they line you up outside, but it was starting to, like, drizzle. And it was, like, starting to rain. So they moved us all into the theater kind of early. So we were, like, in the theater for, like, 2 hours.
Oh my God.
So we played, like, the entire game.
Like, the thing, though, is all of them are super creepy, but they're highly detailed.
Yeah.
Highly detailed.
Beautiful.
They have ones about vampires. They have this beautiful one about Tuscany, where you're basically playing as this reporter who's trying to, like, figure out the life of this person, and you're going through, and you gotta, like, uncover all these hidden secrets. And they had one that was Beauty and the Beast.
Oh, cool. Yeah, we played the one with the woman's husband who was missing, and there was, like, creepy dolls. And, like, stuff would, like, move.
Yeah. So, the ones that were gorgeous, the ones that were made about the art style one, art music, is called Drawn.
Okay.
D-R-A-W-N, Drawn, and there's 3 of them, I believe. Those ones were amazing, just hands down the most gorgeous, and the soundtracks for it were utterly beautiful. I have so many by this company. Just scrolling through them is making me realize how much money I've given to this company. Stray Souls is the name of the game. Stray Souls, Dollhouse Horror, something like that. Uber creepy.
So creepy.
Super
so creepy.
It's really good. Really good. So, yeah. Check out that game if you want to be horrified.
All right. Thank you for joining us. So we're still working on figuring out how we're going to close this.
It'll come to us in due time.
This has been Caitlin in California.
This is Sam in Spokane.
And not Odile.
And not Odile.
We are the morons who try to talk good and don't take life too seriously, people. All right, we will see you next week.